Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel this evening, the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse number 6. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Verse 11, if then ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We know that God does bless the public reading of his precious word. There are four little words that I would like to impress upon your heart tonight in the gospel meeting. They should be simple enough that even a child can understand, a young person, the things that I want you to hear tonight. I actually have highlighted them in my own Bible. In verse number 7, we have ask, seek, knock, and in verse number 13, enter. When you think about those words, they actually make sense. They actually join up. They actually make a sequence. Ask, seek, knock, enter. And that's what I want to impress upon your mind tonight. I said at the beginning of the week that I was going to speak about some of the illustrations and pictures that we have on this new chart that I brought with me from Ireland. It's not an Irish chart, it's an American one. The early version of it came from America to Ireland. You remember I told you on Sunday evening the first time I heard a preacher from Canada preaching on it, and then I got a new version of it and I brought it back over to Canada just now, so we're preaching on it here. If you don't understand everything that we say, if you don't understand every explanation, every argument, every verse that has been read, I think surely that even a simple child could understand some of the pictures that are on the chart here behind me. We talked on Sunday evening, you remember. I talked on Sunday evening about the pillar death. It doesn't look attractive because it's not. It's angular and obstructive and ugly, and it stands right in the way of the path of every single person that is walking down the two different roads that we find on the chart. Because there is no middle road. There is a narrow way that goes to heaven. There is a broad way that goes to hell. And the pillar of death, it actually goes across both roads. It does not mean that when you trust in Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven and you're born again, that you won't die. But it does mean that you won't die spiritually. Though there's also the possibility that every single person who is alive, who has trusted in the Lord Jesus, might not die. We'll come to that another evening. That's why there seems to be a strange little side path that goes right up over the top of pillar death, because so it does. And I'm hoping, and maybe even the oldest people in the room here, they're also hoping that just maybe they won't have to go through death. Because death itself is a doorway to the other side and the other world, and nobody really wants to go there. We don't want to die. And we don't want to think about death. And we don't really want to think too much about what lies on the other side of death. And yet the reason that we're here to preach the gospel is because there is an unseen world. There is another world. There is a world on the other side. There is a life after death. And if death finished life, if death finished all life, it really would not matter how you lived. And it would not even really matter how you died. But because there is another world, and because there is another life, and because there is life after death, and because after death there is judgment, and because every single person must stand before God, then it's most important that we have the opportunity, and by coming here you do have, the opportunity to hear the gospel and find out how you can get off the broad road and get on the narrow way, through the narrow gate that Jesus said leads to life. Last night, you see, I spoke not about pillar death. Last night I talked about the pointing finger. And you can see that right up in the corner of the chart. And the reason why we have a message of the gospel is because John the prophet came and he told us he was just a forerunner. There is one coming after me. I'm not even fit to tie his shoelaces. And he's God's Lamb. And he has come. That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has come because there is another world. He was sent into this world. Brother Davis told you that tonight already. His birth was not his beginning. His birth was his introduction down here to this world and to human life. He came from the other world. He came from the heavenly world. He came from the spirit world. He came from the spiritual world. He came into this natural world, the world of man and woman. Why? That he might live a good life and set an example? No. He came that he might die. The only person to whom death was not appointed, because he never sinned. Not only did he not sin, but he could not have sinned. If he could have sinned, he would not have been God. And if he had not have been God, he could not have died for my sins, and he could not be my Savior. I've heard some people say that Jesus could have sinned, and by his power he did not. That is wrong. He could not have sinned, because he is God. He was God before he came. He became God with his glory and might and power veiled in human flesh. Little tiny glimpses of it shone out. Sometimes little tiny pieces of his glory shone out. He walked and talked and did his miracles and healed the sick and raised the dead. How could he not have been the Son of God if he was able to raise the dead? And yet he came from the other world into this world that he might die. There was a pillar. A pillar of death that always was in front of his vision and was always before his gaze right from eternity. That pillar for him was called the cross. I don't know if I'll die, because I might go to heaven without dying. I don't know when I'll die. I don't know where I'll die. I don't know what age I'll be if I do die. And I don't know how I die. And isn't that a good thing? It would be a terrible thing to carry around in your mind the place and date and time and manner of your death as some kind of fatalistic vision, and you would try and avoid it, but you couldn't be able. By God's grace, even though he knows, he has hidden those things from our sight. But there was one who came into this world and he knew when he would die. He knew where he would die. He knew how he would die. He knew what the manner of his death would be. He did not die because he was on a cross. He did not die from crucifixion. He did not die from weakness. He did not die because his spirit left his body. He dismissed his own spirit. He embraced death because he was God, and he could not die a natural death unless he chose to go through death. And praise God, he walked on a pathway that led to the cross, and he entered into death for us. So that when we do die, if we do, even though those of us in this room tonight who are living a conscious decision and have decided, because you have, decided to live against, listen carefully, against the light of the gospel that has already shined in your heart. Those who are walking on the wide road tonight, the broad way. Tonight it's not about the pillar death or the pointing finger. It's about the two pathways that are painted on the chart. And Jesus said when he told this story, there were also two doors, two gates, two ways. Really, if the second door was on the chart, it really should be somewhere over here in the corner, maybe beside the wall. Because the people who are pictured walking down, it is down. It's a downward path. Jesus said it leads to destruction. And there is a narrow path and it leads to life. That's why on the chart, because the chart can only go so far. It's only two-dimensional. It was painted by a person with human thinking and human illustrations, and yet it's trying to tell a spiritual truth. And it's no accident that some of the things on the chart are coloured a lovely golden yellow colour and some are blue, because it speaks of heaven and it speaks of glory. And when you look at the chart and see other things that are dark and black and red, it speaks of darkness and blackness and banishment and sin and punishment and hell and the lake of fire forever. When you look at the two roads on the chart, you can see that there are two destinations, two destinies. That's what the title says. It's not just the picture of the two roads. It also is the picture of the two destinies. And let me tell you, dear young person in the room tonight, when you cross past pillar death, there is absolutely no changing whatsoever either of the destinies that any person has arrived in, and that forever. There's no salvation past pillar death. There is no salvation on the other side. Don't be mistaken because the second part of the chart is wider than the first. That is just because the man who drew it needed to work in all the things that God is telling us will happen after death, because there's a great number of different judgments that will come after death. We should be concerned tonight with what can happen and should happen and needs to happen when we're on the living side of the pillar. And if you look very carefully at the chart, you will actually see that pillar death has got its own shadow. There are people drawn on the chart. I love this new version of the chart. There are people drawn on the chart and they don't really seem to realize that the shadow of the pillar death is already falling across their path. Mind you, there's people in Kamloops like that tonight, isn't there? Before the morning, they'll be in the hospital. Something will have happened and something will have gone wrong, and the shadow of death will have fallen across their path. It's not so very long since my father passed away. Thank God he was saved and ready to die, because he wasn't conscious at the last. If he had left until the day that he died to trust in Jesus, I don't think that he could have. Or even the day before, or even the day before that, or truth to tell, most of the week before he died. And so it's very easy for circumstances to come that the shadow of death can fall across the path of any. We don't know when death will come. We don't know when the shadow of death will touch. But dear soul, this evening, there is a world on the other side. There are destinations and destinies on the other side, and they are eternal. They're forever. And it's so important to make the right decision and to make the right choice before you are left in a position that you do not expect. And on the other side, there'll be no possibility of changing your mind or changing your destiny. There are people tonight, many of them out there in this world, and they are walking most deliberately on the broad way. They're going where they want to go. And some of them would even tell you, because I've talked to some people, and they say things to me like this. They say, you know, the kind of company that I like is going to be in hell. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? Not only because it's not true, it's a terrible thing to think. I think when we examine the Word of God and investigate what kind of place that hell and the lake of fire will be, there's no company whatsoever. But it is very true that people of a certain kind and a similar kind, that's where they're going to finish up. You say the bad people will be in hell, the jihadis will be in hell, the murderers will be in hell. Careful now. Because the Bible actually tells us, because God can open his own curtain, the Bible actually tells us about murderers that are in heaven. I was preaching with an American friend once, some time ago, and he said a lovely thing that I never forgot. He said, hell is filling up with people who thought they were good enough to go to heaven. And then he said the other half of that lovely statement, the other half needs to be said, doesn't it? Heaven is filling up with people who knew that they were bad enough to go to hell. That's true, isn't it? You see, every single person who's in heaven tonight knows they deserve to go to hell. And yet hell tonight, and some people got there by accident, you know, they didn't all plan to be there. And they didn't all go there to meet their friends. And they didn't all go there to find their buddies. And they didn't all arrive there the day they thought they would get there. And hell is filling up tonight with people who thought. Walking on the clean side of the broad road, they say. Thought they were good enough to go to heaven. Even the chorus that we sing in Sunday school tells us the truth, isn't it? There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Jesus told this story. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. I wonder if God gave you an opportunity of asking him for one thing, what would you ask for? If God spoke directly to your heart tonight, if you went home and went to bed, and in the darkness of the night you got a vision of God or a vision from God, and it's not impossible, you know. I have met some people in other parts of the world and they told me that God wakened them up and spoke to their heart in a dream in their bed. It's in the Bible. God can still do it if he wants. And if God spoke to you tonight in a dream in your bedroom and nobody else knew about it but you, and God said, I'll give you one thing that you want. Just one opportunity, just one choice, and just one thing, but because God says it, he can do it. The biggest thing or the smallest thing, the greatest thing or the grandest thing, if God appeared to you tonight and said, I'll give you one thing, whatever you want, what would you ask for? Please don't say $1 million. Please don't say you'd like to be the president. I'm being serious. Because God is asking you. And the Spirit of God tonight, he will not appear as a person, he never does. But he is asking through the gospel and the word of God, what is it that you would like God to do for you? Are you asking God tonight for something that only God can give? There was a moment in my experience, I was only 8 years old. On the 22nd of March 1967, I love to remember the date, not because I did at the time. I didn't know to remember the date. I asked my granddaddy afterwards. He kept a very precise journal. Before the end of the meetings, I might tell you the whole of my testimony. My granddad asked me, did I remember where the meeting was? Oh, I said, yes. He said, do you remember what hall you were in? I said, yes. He said, by any chance, do you remember the preacher's name? I said, yes. And then he went and looked in his journal and put all the pieces together. And then he came back and he said, here's the date and I don't forget it. You know, for about 6 months after I trusted in the Lord Jesus, I wasn't really sure if I was saved. You see, I had asked and God had answered. But I wasn't really confident in my little tiny heart that God had really given me what I'd asked for. I remember one day coming home from school. It was the autumn, or as you would say, the fall. It was late in the month of September. The leaves had fallen down early in our home country in Ireland. And I was kicking my school bag on the street. That tells you what I thought about school and school bags. I was kicking my school bag instead of carrying it like a football. And it was in the leaves in the gutter, and I kicked it with my right foot. And you know what I said? I said, maybe I'm saved. And then I moved along a foot or two and I came up to my school bag. I kicked it with my left foot. I said, maybe I'm not. And then I kicked it again and I said, maybe I am. And then I kicked it again and I said, maybe I'm not. And eventually I reached my front door where we lived, 17 Grange Road, Ballymena. And the last kick said, maybe I'm not. And I picked the school bag up by the strap. And I opened the cupboard door under the staircase and I threw the school bag in. And I banged the door and I sat down on the bottom step of the staircase and I began to cry. I said, I'm not saved at all. And a little verse by the Spirit of God came immediately into my heart. John chapter 6 and verse number 37. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And him that comes to me shall in no wise be turned away. I said, well, I did come. I came way back then. I asked and God answered. I knocked and he let me in. I opened my heart and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did the asking. He did the seeking. I did the knocking. He did the opening. And by faith, listen to it tonight, dear soul, in all its simplicity, when he opened the door of the way to heaven to me in the gospel message, by faith I stepped inside. You don't have to move your feet. And you don't have to move your hand. And you don't have to sign a card. And you don't have to come to the front. You don't have to do anything tonight to step inside the door because it's a spiritual door. And the door was opened when Jesus said, finished on the cross at Calvary. And the door will stay open as long as you live. But when it comes to the moment of death, that door is closed. And if you haven't entered it, that's why there's a closed door on the chart. That's the same door. It's hard to paint it twice. It's the same door and it's closed because when you miss your opportunity, when you go past the offer of salvation, because is not God so gracious that people who have deliberately decided in their arrogance and rebellion against God to go through the wide gate and walk on the wide way down to destruction, and God should say, you've made your choice, you can go to hell because you so decided. Did you ever stop to think that in the paragraph, did you ever stop to think that on the chart, the narrow door is on the way to hell? Isn't that a lovely thought? Every single person who's walking on the broad road decided to go against God and against the will of God and against the way of God down to destruction. And God should have taken their decision as final, but by his grace he did not. And God said, there is a narrow door and there is a narrow way and it's marked out by the cross. And I'll tell you this, most of us discovered that on the way to hell, curiously enough, on the twists and turns of my rebellious journey, I came to the narrow door more than once. You see, even that is not necessarily a one-time offer, though, dear soul, let me tell you this evening, I can't guarantee it to you tomorrow night. Neither will God. Now is the accepted time. Now is the way of salvation. Ask, seek, knock and enter, because straight, constrained and narrow is the door. Oh, it's not always easy to get in. Sometimes your friends are obstacles. Sometimes your mind's the obstacle. Sometimes your pride's the obstacle. It is not easy to enter in. It is not a wide door. It is a narrow door, for each soul must go in it by themselves. It's not a door for crowds. For people don't get saved in crowds. It's not a mass movement of people. It's not charismatic exuberance. It's not 300 people raising their hand at once. I don't care how big or small the crowd is. Yes, we'd love to see more. But every single soul that trusts in Jesus, they're singled out by God. And they get saved and they enter the door absolutely and totally by themselves. Don't wait for your brother. Don't wait for your neighbor. Don't wait for your friend. Don't wait for your cousin. Don't wait a moment in case it's too late. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, easy to go through. And broad is the way, easy to walk on. And downhill is the path, easy to travel, that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in that path. Let me tell you a little story before we go home. Many years ago, way out in the land of Botswana in Central Africa, I took an older version. I don't know where it went. I think it's still in Africa, probably quite dusty and dirty and worn out now. I took an older version of this chart. It had never been seen in the town before, never ever. And I put it up with another brother, a man called Peter. I put it up on the wall in a hall in Francistown in Botswana to preach the gospel for a week from the older version of this chart. A great many Africans came in to hear and see because they'd never seen a gospel chart before. And there was an old granny from another village. She had a daughter who was saved and in the assembly where I was preaching. And she came to stay with her daughter because her daughter invited her. She wanted her mother to hear the gospel. And the old lady didn't want to hear the gospel. In fact, I went to her funeral. I don't believe she ever entered the narrow door. She was buried in the bush in a pagan funeral. But she brought with her to her daughter's house another daughter, a sister of the lady who was in the assembly. Her younger sister came with the older mother on the bus. And they sat and listened to the gospel, and the old lady folded her arms, and she had a cross face, and she wouldn't listen to a word, but her daughter listened every night. And after 3 or 4 nights, the old lady got up one morning in her daughter's house and she said, "I'm going home early. I'm not staying the whole week. Take me for the 6 o'clock bus and take me home." And her daughter said, "Mummy, what's wrong? Is the room not comfortable?" "No, it's not the room." "They were Africans. Did somebody offend you or say something wrong?" She said, "No. I'll tell you what's wrong." She said, "The white man's preaching has got inside your sister's head, and she walked around the house the whole night, and she didn't sleep, and neither did I, and I don't want to be disturbed, so take me to the bus and take me home." And her daughter did. Took the mother and the other daughter, her sister, and she put them on the 6 a.m. bus. And they set out 450 kilometers on the bus to go home. 2 stops. 2 stops before Mopipi. 2 stops before the end of the journey. The younger lady, the daughter, she got up and she tapped the driver on the shoulder and she said, "Let me off here." The driver knew the people. He knew the mother and the daughter. He said, "It's not your stop. Your mother gets off 2 stops later." She said, "I'm getting off here." Different place and different path. And the bus driver pulled into the side of the dirt road. And she got off in the sand and she stood there while the bus and her mother went on down the road to a different stop. And 2 days later, she phoned her sister on the cell phone. She told her sister why she got off the bus early. She said, "I travelled 430 kilometres on the bus, and every time he went round a corner, I said, 'This bus is on the way to hell.' And the bus driver's driving me on the broad road, and he doesn't know. And if I don't get off the bus before the end, I'm going to be in hell before the end of the journey." And she stopped the bus early. Thank God she did. And she left her suitcase behind, and she stood on the side of the dirt road underneath the palm tree, and she cried out to God. She said, "I don't want to be in hell, whether the bus is going there or not. Please, can I go through the narrow door? I want to trust in Jesus Christ, and I want to be saved." I tell you this, dear soul, you're not on the bus. But you'll go home tonight in some kind of vehicle, and if you go out this door not saved, I'll tell you this, the very driver in the car could be taking you to hell, and they mightn't know about it. For I can't even guarantee that I'll get home tonight. But I'll tell you this, if something happens to me, I'll be in heaven before my heart stops beating. Because there was a day 51 years ago when I realized I was on the way to hell. And I came by faith to the narrow door, and when I knocked, I found it was already open. And I entered in by faith and trusted in Jesus Christ. And I'm on the narrow road. And I like the company on the narrow road. And I love the people on the narrow road. But I'm so happy of the destination at the end of the journey. I'll never be in hell. I'll be in heaven for all eternity when my journey down here is finished. Why? Because I understood I was a sinner. I wanted off the road to hell. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who opened the door when he died on the cross. I trusted him for forgiveness of sin.